Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is him.
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk. Yes, it is. This is Tech Talk.
This is great music. What the heck is this?
This is Matmos by Rainbow Flag. It's obviously somebody who loves their video games.
Oh, man. It's perfect for the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is Tech Talk. That's Michael's Tech Talk. Castler over there. I'm with Dave Sparky.
Dave Sparky. Otherwise known in the business as Rough Trade Saganaki.
Oh, no. Don't start that again. I tried to get away from that.
Get away from those rumors.
Every time I get out, they pull me back in.
Yeah, and we've got a really good show for a really, really good show this week. We've got, of course, the inimitable, if I could get my words.
Inimitable. Say it fast. That way you can't hear the mistakes.
Jay Garman is going to be on with us just a little bit, answering some of those video game geek trivia questions. We also have Dr. Bert Scalzo from Toad, which, you know, it sounds like kind of an evil, it's like the
sounds
evil
like a
empire.
A villain from James Bond.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not. Toad is actually a fantastic Oracle applications development company, and they produce a lot of really neat stuff. It's kind of one of those things that you probably have never heard of them if you don't work with Oracle stuff, but anybody that you do business with that has got Oracle going on has got some Toad in the background.
Got some
there.
Toad so, going on.
Yep. So we're going to lick the Toad and listen to... I don't even know where I'm going this morning, but we are going to listen to that a little bit.
You're going there by yourself and you're licking Toads. And of course, you're making a reference to years ago. And this is supposed to be true. There were Toads in South America that if you give them a slurp, you would get high.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yeah. And
psychoactive chemicals.
Yeah, they had some kind of poison. It was sort of like the whole magic mushroom situation. But none of that has anything at all to do with Oracle or with Dr. Scalzo, who is not a doctor of microbiology or hallucinogenic materials, but is instead a doctor.
Yeah, he grants us an interview, and then we besmirch his reputation forever here on Tech Talk.
Yeah. His good name is dragged through the mud by being on a Tech Talk show. We are looking forward to that.
This will come up on Google forever that he's...
Yes.
And licking toads.
And we've also got... We're going to have some interesting conversation. We're going to talk about politics a little bit maybe today and some other good stuff too. We've got a lot of neat stuff going on with the news and information.
And of course, Jay Garman. It's just great to listen to him talk.
Yes.
About
yes,
anything. Indeed. He's a raconteur extraordinaire.
A
good talker too.
A factotum, I think, is the term that I would use.
Factotum.
A factotum. Yeah. Yes, one who does a bit of everything. So a true Renaissance geek.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm looking forward to that. You know, in fact, maybe should we just dive right in to see if we can connect with Jay right off the top? Well, I guess it is only 10:03. We might be hitting. Oh, you know,
he's in a different time zone.
Yeah, he is. So we should wait probably to our usual time. Otherwise, we run that risk of having the phone just ring and ring, and you know, then the kid answers. But I should mention to people though, if you are interested in listening to the show online, we do have the stream is up and running now. It's been active for quite some time, so everybody should be happy and able to get to that. You can either get there to techtalk.wrlr.fm. I've got a link over on the right-hand side. Or if you go right to the station website, wrlr.fm, you will see a link there also. In addition to that, we've also now got the Justin TV stuff going on. And if you go to justin.tv/wrlr, this is kind of a new old thing that we're doing, I think. We used to do it. We had the videos up and available and all this. There's not really much to see in the in the
we're
station.
We're so multimedia.
But, you know, you can watch us sit there and talk into microphones. But the cool thing about Justin TV, I think why people would want to go there is that
you can watch us talk.
You can watch us talking.
It's so fascinating.
It is fascinating. But the cool thing
from
is
bad angles.
There is a chat area on the side, and now I can't promise that we're gonna pay attention or watch.
Oftentimes,
the chat.
There's many things going on. And
yeah,
there's from the chat.
Too much happening. It's a volley of activity and action is here in the studio at most times. It keeps us from really commenting, but occasionally we'll have a look over there, and if you've made some interesting comment, we may respond to that.
And I'm not that busy, but I don't have a screen.
you can take it if you want to do that. I'm perfectly happy with that.
I'm the world's worst typist as well. So. And then you'd ask me a question, I'd be like, what?
Yeah, you know, we used to have it up. There used to be a screen up in the corner there that had the whole thing, and you could read the chat from any angle. I don't know what happened to that either.
Yeah, people around here with the wires, you know, people plug them, unplug them, replug them. Everybody's got a plan for how to configure the studio.
There's something different. Yeah, we are doing a lot. You know what? We're going to have a Studio B here coming soon. And
that'll make things much worse, no doubt.
Yes. And election night coverage is going to be a very high-tech situation around here. We're going to have multiple lines. We're using Skype for all the call-ins. We're going to have a table out front with just people receiving the phone calls and commentary and
volunteers,
all the other good stuff that
people
want.
Volunteers with politically active viewpoints. And all that kinds of stuff.
Yes, as opposed to the usual just regulars with political viewpoints.
No, it's going to be objective reporting and also some commentary, I'm guessing, a little bit, not much.
Yeah, no, I think there'll be a little bit. You know, I don't think too many of the people that host shows here can restrain themselves from commentating on some level. I try to be pretty even-handed, objective. You know, well,
unless you've got gadget fever.
Which, by the way, I do.
I struck a nerve.
I got my new laptop. I was very excited.
Oh, that's
why it worked. He came up.
Well, first
said,
way, there's a backstory to this. I should tell people. I came in earlier. Mike was sitting in front of his laptop, and I was commenting on the sweatshirt he was wearing, and he immediately thought I was commenting about his laptop. He starts to do a bit about the laptop.
I was very focused.
Your shirt, Mike.
I was very focused on the laptop. Well, the thing is the laptop now, you got to see, is, and of course, I don't know if you can see this on Justin,
blue.
Justin
it's TV.
It is. It's a beautiful...
Is that studio model that I'm talking about?
Is it a cerulean blue?
It's very...
I don't know, but
it's a cobalt. It's like a metallic cobalt.
Yeah. It's
a light shade of metallic cobalt.
It's very nice and pretty, and the funny thing about it was I went online. I had to get a new laptop for work. My old laptop just wasn't really what I had needed in the beginning anyways, and I've been using it for almost 2 years, and finally there was some really good
poor
deal.
Guy.
I know.
Poor guy.
It was slow. Yeah. It was really slow.
Oh.
I couldn't handle it.
Didn't they allow you to pick that with an unlimited budget?
No. This was the thing that happened, is that I was told I could choose what I wanted to at work. Now, I'm not going to cast any aspersions on anybody in my organization here, but this is before I'd gotten pulled in, hired. It was actually...
So this was bait.
This is prior to me showing up on the front door, and they gave me somebody's name to send what I wanted to, and I sent that to this person, and they said, well, that's not really what our standard... thing is, but we'll get you something close, whatever. And then when I got it, I knew right away it was like, it's not really close. I mean, it's the same brand, but it's got half the RAM that I asked for. So anyway, so now
you could always add RAM. Well, theoretically.
I don't know. Like I said, I didn't want to rub,
sometimes you get so busy with a piece of gear that you don't want to crack it open.
Yeah, and I've just,
Or lazy.
It's more laziness. It absolutely is. I'm one of those people that I would rather throw something away and buy a new one than go through the process of fixing the old one.
Sure.
But, so anyways, finally now I've got enough weight to throw around that I said, you know what? The deals are good. I want a new laptop that's got everything I want on it.
I want a new lappy.
Yeah, it is. That's what I call it. I call it my lappy.
I want dual core.
It's got dual core, 4 gig of RAM. Yep.
250 or 320 on the hard drive?
250. Oh, 250.
That, yeah. You showed some restraint.
Yeah. Well, actually,
and it is, after all, a work.
Yes,
laptop.
Exactly. but the funny thing was, though, if you go online and you take a look at these Dell laptops, and they have some good deals right now, by the way. I'm just going to mention, they do have some very good deals right now.
Yowzy wowzy.
And, but the.
It's a good time to have
thing
geek fever.
Was, you can get the exact same internals and hardware and equipment and so on with a blue or a red case, and it's like $300 less than if you got it with the standard black, you know, business type of thing.
Huh?
And so,
wow, that's amazing.
You know, it's like, why? I don't care.
You're not allowed to make that sound on the radio. Do it again.
No. Yeah. that's my one sound effect I have. It's a horse, of course.
It's effective. Oh, Wilbur. Yeah. But your nose is cool.
Yeah. It's meant to show. I don't know what it's meant to show.
Yeah,
plus respect or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, no, it's. Well, of course, why not?
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
No brainer.
Yeah.
I can't even do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You have bigger lips than I do.
I'm trying to find. I'm looking desperately through.
I can't do it.
Through the radio. I'm looking desperately through the radio sound effect listing that we've got here, and I'm just not seeing, you know, we've got the, you've got that, you know, but I don't have
That's below the tech talk.
No! I don't sort of like that. So I got to make my own sound effects. That's the problem.
So it's a beautiful cobalt blue, and you're happy with it, right?
And I'm very happy with it.
It looks like about
very
a 13-inch
nice.
Screen.
14-inch scrunch.
Yeah.
It's a scrunch-ween, and it's a...
what kind of video graphics you got? I mean, what kind of video?
It's the NVIDIA subsystem. NVIDIA graphics.
On board,
not a separate card.
Yeah. Shared RAM. Well, with 4 gigs of RAM, who cares?
You know what?
Doesn't
it's
matter.
Got its own RAM, and it's...
And you're not going to be gaming on it.
It's a widescreen. I'm not... I don't game. I just don't game anymore at all. I wish I could say that I did.
Yeah.
There's a lot of...
It's a mark of maturity that you don't game.
It's a mark of just having absolutely no time. I wish that I had time. I have friends who still do the WoW thing, you know, World of Warcraft, and they're doing some of the other stuff. And I just wish I had, you know, 3 hours a day, which is what some of them spend on this, you know, that I could sit. It seems crazy to me. I know I used to do it, and it still seems crazy to me.
Well, there's talk about addiction now. More and more people are becoming addicted to games and that sort of thing. So.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
maybe it's good you got away.
Yeah. I think I've done more productive things with my life since that period. But
so what model Dell is this?
This is a Latitude E6400.
Oh,
yeah. So
always been well regarded for its form factor and such.
Yeah, you go Latitude. To Dell online. Now, of course, I get a special deal on it anyways because I do work for a not-for-profit.
Oh, sure.
So my dollar, I won't even mention dollar figures because the money that we pay for it is less.
Right, and it's a serious step up from the Inspiron line.
Which is what I had before,
right.
Is an Inspiron. So that's exactly right.
Yeah, so it's a pretty nice laptop.
Yeah, and I would highly, you know, I know we say we don't comment, but I would highly recommend Dell to just about anybody. In fact, I recommended and set up and configured my brother-in-law recently with a Dell desktop monitor, printer, and laptop. Actually, I take that back. The printer, we went with an HP, which is always a good choice. But he's been very, very happy. And he was the one, though, that had the problem with the router.
The mystery router that they had to change the MAC address on.
Exactly.
Well, and Dell, it's hard to beat their specs for the cost.
Yep,
yeah,
yep.
It really is.
They really do. They have, and I love the fact that you can go on there and you just build the whole thing and all that, and you're done with it. It's very economical. It's a very convenient way to make sure you get exactly what you want on your computer. Oh, and the cool piece of software that it came with it. It was cost of a couple of CDs, but you could
blank CDs or recorded CDs?
Re-recorded CDs. you could buy this piece of software with it, and it you plug your old computer in, you plug the new computer in, and I was kind of I would not have bought this if it had been me personally buying it. I have to admit, I wouldn't have put the money in.
Somebody else's money. Yeah.
It was somebody else's. I put my hand down and it wasn't going into my own pocket, and I said, okay, fine, I'll do it.
So it sounds like it automates your settings and files.
It takes
transfer.
Everything. Pulled all the applications and all that stuff over too. I was amazed. It worked. I did not think it was going to work, but it actually got Microsoft Office pulled foldover.
How'd you hook the two computers together?
They give you a USB to USB cable.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah. And so you install the software on both ends. You tell one side it's the, and this is called LapLink software. It's been around
for years and years,
but they've upgraded it. They include the cable.
And it hasn't worked real well for years.
No, exactly. I remember, in fact, some of my first gaming experiences were with a LapLink connection and a PS2 port cable.
Yeah.
And you could fake it into thinking it was a modem connection in some games.
Not a lot of bandwidth there.
No. You didn't need a lot then, though. Yeah. You know, but it worked great. It brought over. I had, I think, 40-50 gig worth of files, and it brought those over. And it took a significant amount of time.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But we did that, and then it brought all my applications and all the application settings. And the only things it didn't work with were some of these companies, like Adobe, for example, gets really funky about how they'll do their licensing. And those, it brought the applications over, but they're all broken. And so I'm trying to uninstall them and reinstall them, and I'm having a little bit of problems with that. What else did not work? Crystal Reports kind of worked. That's a business objects company. It pretty much worked, and it probably would have worked if I hadn't been installing it off of a network drive from when I originally installed it. But if you're migrating a machine, XP to XP, Vista to Vista, this thing, I'll give it the Tech Talk thumbs up. LapLink, it's worth the cash if you don't want to spend the time trying to find all your old CDs and reinstalling everything. Just a little word of warning that it will crap out on some of these. Some of them will not quite pull it over. So.
Yeah.
So I just got to keep that in mind.
On software that has licensing protecting and that sort of thing.
Exactly, yeah. If they get the real funky online internet licensing protecting, they're probably sending... Well, they're probably using your MAC address. That's what they're doing. So, so that's the next thing we need to do is get a way to scam those MAC addresses. Anyways.
Yes. Yes.
Let's give Mr. Garmin a call.
What
I got to do before I do that, though? Hold on. Wait, we've got... Here we go. Okay. I had to... Had to bring the some little Jay Garmin trivia music.
Oh, you've been digging around for music. We call it musical beds. Jay is getting ready to answer the phone and give us his geek trivia for the week.
Good morning, Mr. Garmin.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Very good. Very
Jay!
Good. Dave was just commenting on your music bed. He's flooding the listeners with knowledge from his
radio
extensive
lingo.
Background.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
oh, yeah, it's extensive.
it is. He's been around.
Mike's dug you up some nice music to put in the background while you dispense our geek trivia wisdom to our listeners.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Welcome to the show.
I see that your Halloween was well spent then.
Actually, I had a wonderful Halloween. I protected my daughter, who's three, from the... we had some friends of my son's come over, and their costumes were far too scary for her, and she was clutching my leg in her little orange and green pumpkin costume. She was clutching my leg, saying, "Daddy, help me! Help me!"
You're sad when they're scared, but fathers live for those moments.
Oh, definitely. And of course, then I had to borrow one of the boys had a chest plate with a skeleton look thing, and then there was a thing you could squeeze to make it look like blood was coming through.
Oh.
So I borrowed that from one of the kids so I could go scare her later.
Well, and it's real nice.
Because that's nice. Just the kind of dad I am.
Wear that to work.
Awesome. You know,
those are the memories that she'll have for the rest of her life.
And her therapist will hear about for $125 an hour.
That's right. Exactly. See, I'm contributing to the economy in my own small way. So how was your Halloween though? Did you have did you dress up yourself? I'm curious to know what the King of Geek was.
I sort of dressed up. My wife got me one of those shirts that is its own costume. It looked like a doctor's scrubs. With the stethoscope and everything on it, because to her mind, the pun Dr. J is really funny. and I will not be so unwise as to disagree with her on radio.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Yeah. The only problem with that is that, you know, you have to explain it at every house you go to. And after about the seventh or eighth one, I imagine it gets a little tired.
Well, see, we didn't do the traditional trick-or-treating, partly because we throw a party every year, and so we were home. My daughter went to, we had a big party at the zoo where the kids had to go trick-or-treating around with the animals, and then there was a party at her school. So she got the trick-or-treat twice, just not in the neighborhood.
Now, what kind of treats do you get from a llama?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. They make it a point that the animals will not be involved in this.
Okay.
And so I know what kind of treats you get from
various
llama.
Sponsors and vendors handing out stuff. So it's mostly candy, but some dentists shrewdly show up and hand out cards to parents during this, like, thank you for rotting your children's teeth. You'll be needing me later. A few other things like that. And my daughter didn't quite get it at first. She didn't know what the trick-or-treating was about. And she can't pronounce trick-or-treat very well. She's only, you know, 22 months old, so she's not that articulate.
Yep.
But by the end of the night, she had figured it out. She would walk into people, more candy, more candy, more candy. That she got.
Yeah, that's all you really need to say. That's awesome. See, that's a big difference, though, I think, between your Halloween experience and mine was that you guys actually have friends. And so that allows you to do things like have parties, you know, whereas my wife and I, we live in our cavernous hole in the ground and stick our heads out every once in a while.
Well, it was big of you to break out and not join the family business of hiding under bridges and charging tolls. But
yes, well, you know, we tried to, but there's a lock on the copyright for that now, and my uncle, he's kicked us out. He's disowned us from that aspect of things. So.
So you went into IT. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. See,
it's a
tremendous amount of similarity. Yeah. You know, the hiding under metal structures and you know, scaring young children. It all kind of comes together.
And charging people for stuff that should be free.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You use Linux, don't you?
And charge out the kazoo for the support.
Hey,
that's
saw,
right.
I saw a bumper sticker both of you guys would appreciate this week. It said, no, I will not fix your computer.
Yes, you know, there's
you
t-shirts.
You can get that as a t-shirt, too.
Exactly, and there's also another one that said, that I like, that it's, I void warranties.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one, too.
There's a certain feeling to, like, ripping that sticker.
Jay is a big t-shirt fan and fanatic, and we should probably at some point arrange a show here where we go through some of the best sites to get cool t-shirts. There was a real good.
But yeah, you asked Jay whether he's willing to give that up or not, share those secrets.
Oh, sure.
Oh, great.
For the money you guys are paying me, nothing is out of bounds.
Don't rub it in.
Man, you know, yeah. Cause,
don't cause make us out to be cheap, just because we are.
Yeah, anytime you mention that, then I start thinking about my paycheck from this place. And or lack thereof. And Dave's a guy I need to talk to about that.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. We need to come up with a blues song for no money radio.
Yeah, no money, no pride. Or how does that go? I can't remember the exact words.
Humiliation for free.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, Jay, do you have anything for?
Well, speaking of money, that was the whole point of the last trivia question was which. Halloween movies, horror movies, are typically very cheap to make, and what was the most profitable movie in percentage of dollars to how much it cost to make it, or something along those lines, was ever made?
Your answer is The Blair Witch Project.
Ah, that would have been my guess.
Interesting.
That would have been my guess. Because it was so cheap to
make. $35,000 to make,
yeah.
And it made $248
million. Wow.
Holy cannoli.
Wow. Yeah, that was all handheld cameras in the woods. Big spoof.
Yep. You know. Yep. Now, interestingly, I did get some answers on this one, but the answer I got from two different people, in fact, was Psycho. The original Psycho, they said, had made the largest. I wonder if there's maybe some website out there which is giving incorrect
information. They're probably confused about which made the most, and Jay's question was, which made the most considering how much it cost.
Yes.
Psycho is actually a funny thing because people forget when Hitchcock made that, he also had the Alfred Hitchcock television show. So there was a stated budget for that movie, but he used a lot of his cast and crew and post-production from his TV show. So how much he said it cost and how much it actually
cost
is sort of a subject of debate.
But it cost more than $35,000.
Yes, it did cost more than $35,000.
Even at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just the actors alone, probably their fee. So. Well, excellent. So the
and it's funny that if you go by percentage return on investment, and there's a website called the-numbers.com, and you can go and get a lot of these numbers, but they have a list of the top 20 percentage return on investment movies of all time, and five of them are horror movies. Blair Witch is one. The original Not a Living Dead is fifth. Original Friday the 13th is 11th.
That was a nasty
Saw
movie.
Is 16th, and the original Evil Dead is 18th.
Oh, really? Wow. I mean, yeah, the Evil Dead was
together,
a very low budget.
Those five movies cost less than $2.3 million to make.
Oh, my.
Man.
Combined.
Well, you know, I guess in a good horror movie, you don't need a lot of special effects even to communicate a sense of dread and horror.
Or even well-paid actors.
Or even actors, period. You know, Evil Dead, in fact, wasn't that nobody there was an actual, quote, you know, double quotes actor at the time. It wasn't until years later that Bruce Campbell, of course, became the iconic now with double quotes actor that he purports to be. And
I feel that what Bruce Campbell does transcend mere acting. He chews scenery like a T-Rex.
Yes. You know, there's a movie coming out. It's called What About Bruce or something like that, or it All About Bruce. Or maybe just Bruce with an exclamation point, but it's about his life and times. So that should be interesting. I like watching him on TV now. He's on Burn Notice, which is wife and I's one of our favorite shows, one of the few shows we DVR actually to watch on occasion. And that's a USA exclusive. So.
Well, the thing I like about Bruce Campbell is that he's friends with Sam Raimi, so he's been in the three Spider-Man films, and he joked that he's the only guy that's been in all three Spider-Man films and defeated Spider-Man every time. Because, let's see, he was the wrestling announcer who didn't give him his money.
Oh, yes.
He was the maitre d' who screwed up his date with Mary Jane, and he was the usher who wouldn't let him into the play. So he is undefeated against Spider-Man.
Oh, I didn't make that connection. That's pretty good. I like that. Well, you know what? We do have something I've got to cut to in a little bit, so we should get to the new geek trivia question for the week, and we'll go on from there. What do you got queued up for us this week?
Well, the presidential election is finally almost upon us. So it's my last presidential trivia one as far as elections go. Most people think that George Washington was the first president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't. Somebody else was president of the United States before George Washington. Who was it, and how did he do it?
Huh.
Wow.
I have no idea.
See, the problem with your questions is they invite immediate discussion. Like, what, you know, let's talk about what, you know, the history of the United States and all that. But this is one for our listeners to really sort out. I'm shocked by what you're saying, frankly.
Yeah,
I'm good for that.
I have not heard this. Yeah, this is interesting.
There you go again.
See, I got to break out my sound effect.
Yeah, very.
I'm bamboozled and flabbergasted.
Very timely, very timely and topical, Jay. Once again, thank you very much. It's a great question.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, we will hear the answer to that next week for sure.
Yes, you will.
And I'm going to let you go, Jay.
Reword that for us real quickly, though. How would you phrase it? Who was the very first president of the United States, or
first person to hold the title? President of the United States of America.
Cool.
Excellent.
All right.
Excellent. Well, that, right. Boy, yeah, I don't even have the beginnings of a guess on this. So we will look very forward to hearing the answer next week. Thank you again. Have a wonderful have a wonderful All Hallows Day. And and then also to good luck election and voting and everything.
All right. You guys do the same and have a good one, boys.
All right. Take care, Jay.
Talk to
Thank
you next Saturday, Jay. Right. Thank you.
Yep. Bye.
Oh, he did it again.
I know.
He just got us.
Flummoxed.
Just got us.
That's the word I was looking for. I'm flummoxed.
Thanks for considering and getting it right.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, that's one of the few words that fits with the sound effects, though. Sound effects. That's your flummoxed.
Yeah, you could call it that.
Yeah.
Could you turn your head a little when you do that?
Somebody else has to use this mic after I leave.
Yeah, well, and you know, you got quite a range on that.
Yeah. All right, I'm playing us up some spots and cues and stuff like that, and then we're going to come back with Bert Scalzo, and I think we'll just have enough time to squeeze him in. So stay tuned, and we'll be back at you in about 2.5 minutes or so. You're listening to Tech Talk on WRLR.
You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
As you may know, WRLR is a nonprofit, all-volunteer station. All of us here give our time, resources, and energy to provide the community, and the world for that matter, with unparalleled entertainment and information. Our motto, radioactive means involvement, our involvement alone isn't enough. There are operating costs that go well beyond our immediate resources. We need you. Community involvement is everyone's involvement. Please go to our webpage, wrlr.fm, and click on donate. The rest is easy. The amount is up to you. Our budget is like yours. Every contribution is an important part of keeping us all radioactive.
Campaign 2008 is headed towards the night when history will be written. And WRLR will be there to bring you up-to-the-minute coverage as it unfolds. I'm Christopher Thielen, and I'll be your host on Tuesday, November 4th, starting at 6:30 p.m., as we examine not only the presidential race and other national contests, but local races and referendums that affect Lake County residents. We will have guest analysts providing insight to the races that matter to you, interviews with the candidates, and, for the first time in our history, students from local high schools, including Carmel, Antioch, Grays Lake North, and Mundelein, working our war room to bring you the election coverage you've come to expect from WRLR. So, on election night, be sure to tune into coverage that matters to Lake County. Join us on Tuesday, November 4th, starting at 6:30 p.m. on 98.3 WRLR and streaming on the World Wide Web at www.wrlr.fm.
All right, well, we are going to cut right into Mr. Bert Scalzo from Toad. This was taken off of the floor at Oracle Open World 2008, so I apologize if the audio is a little rough. We'll try to fit it all in. If we don't get a chance to, though, we will close it up a little bit early. We may miss our Cool Sites of the Week this week, but keep listening, and right after us is going to be, of course, Jeff Davis and all the hits. You are listening to Tech Talk on WRLR.
Bert Scalzo for Quest Software.
How do you spell your last name?
S is in Sam, C is in Charlie, A, L, Z is in Zebra, O.
Actually, that was probably the easy one. Is Bert with an E, or...?
Yes. Okay. Only birds with money get to spell it with a U.
So, and what is your role with Quest?
A database domain expert. That's the job title, but what I do on a daily basis that would be closest to reality would be help to design the products. So, like, one of our products, Toad, I'll design a lot of the new features that go into the product.
Now, Toad is something I'm actually familiar with. I've experimented with and played with it. And why don't you describe what Toad is and how you would be involved in designing the feature set or something like that?
Toad's an interesting tool. About 10 or 12 years ago, there were no good tools for working with Oracle. Oracle had the world-class database, but not a whole lot of tools at that time. And what few tools they had were command line. And so something as simple as just backspace, you know, to retype something was a pain in the butt. So a developer in North Carolina, in a one-room shack with a tin roof, started writing this program that he called Toad. And it's this graphical user environment for doing anything related to Oracle and increasing your productivity so that you can focus on what you're trying to accomplish and not the syntax or commands or whatever necessary to do it. So we try to abstract away the details and let you focus on your tasks and do that through a graphical user interface. So we're trying to make you more productive on Oracle technology.
Now, obviously, a lot has happened since I got in a tin shack.
He joined Quest Software. Okay. Quest was a competitor to this one guy, and we realized a good product when we saw it. We approached him, and we brought him on board, and then we made made significant investments in the product, gave them an entire development team, gave them architects like myself to help design the features so they could program them, kept current with all the Oracle technology and made sure they were in all the beta programs and that, and just made sure that our customers were happy. And one of the most fun things about Toad is that we run a Yahoo discussion group. So if you ever go to like yahoo.com and you go into discussion groups and you go to Toad, we have a group, and the developers and myself, we listen, we peruse that every day, and so our users will tell us what they want. We just do what they tell us,
put it through,
and then of course take the credit as if it were our idea.
Yeah, yeah. Now what's the kind of life cycle on an application then? From it sounds like the genesis of it might come from a user desire, user need. But then once it's accepted and say, okay, this is something we want to do, you know, how do you make it happen?
What we do is we have several sources for that genesis. It could be a sales consultant, it could be a salesman, it could be a key account sales rep or a strategic partner management rep, or it could be like last night I took 20 customers to dinner. So it could be a face-to-face with development team customers. But I would say probably 85% are coming through that Yahoo group. And what they are is the users expressing what their needs, wants, and desires are, and likewise things that they don't like. They may ask for a feature X. We may attempt to build it. Then we put it out in the beta for them immediately. So we pretty much run almost a year-round beta program. Then they immediately tell us, I hate it, and we just redo it. And we keep that process up until we get it right. So once an idea comes in that looks interesting, it comes to my desk. As the architect, I try to think of, is this a feature that many people would be interested in, or is it something just an isolated person or a couple of people have asked for? Is it technologically possible with what I know that we've built? Or if it's possible or not, what would be the level of difficulty so that I can go to my product manager and say, I've got a feature that looks good for 60% of our user base, but maybe it's going to require 30% more investment than a simple process. Then we sit down, the product manager, myself, and the database, or the development manager, and we review that list, and we put together our short list of 10 items. So because with the users feeding us the input, there's usually at least 100 that make it to that level. We try to narrow it down to 10, and then we start a development cycle with those 10 and say, okay, these are the ones we're going to try and get. And typically, because we do the betas the way we do, we will divide up our development team, and half will start with the easy ones, so I can get stuff immediately out there and get feedback, and the other half will work on the stuff that's going to take a long time, because it takes a long time. So the beta program has stuff for the short term and medium, and by the time we get the long term stuff ready, then, you know, it's time for them to participate.
Do you have an address off the top of your head for that the Yahoo group, or just go to Yahoo and do it?
Just go to Yahoo, and on the left-hand side where the menus are, like weather and sports and all that, there's a thing, it's either called groups or discussions.
Okay.
You go onto there, and then do a search. When that page comes up, do a search for Toad and Oracle. If you just put in Toad, you'll get the Toad Wine site. There's actually a wine company that sells wine called Toad.
It's called Toad?
Yeah. Okay. So put in Toad and Oracle, it'll come up, and it's public. Anyone can join. And what's really nice is you are talking directly to the architect, the development manager, and the developers, and we respond. I mean, I'll go back to my hotel room tonight from the show, and I'll go respond to 50 or 100 emails.
Now, do you guys, you know, we've talked a lot about how the software integrates with the database itself, the Oracle system itself. Is there also similar tools or integration with some of the things that layer on top of the database, Oracle apps, and
What's interesting is that those haven't been as widely adopted by our customers as, say, just the general purpose tool for the lowest level, which is the database. So while we have an e-business module that plugs into Toad, that's not very popular. Our Spotlight product used to have an e-business module, or still does, I'm not sure. And that wasn't something. So even though e-business gets a lot of press and a lot of publicity, we haven't seen it materialize on the back end in need from our customers. There have been isolated cases, but it hasn't gone to the general level yet.
I see. Do you see Larry's revelations about the database server and Exabyte and all this other stuff going think to impact or affect you guys in any way? Or,
well, I know
it's pretty early to ask.
That's okay. A lot of people try to second guess some of these big shots. I always look at it this way. I look at Larry's bank book and I look at mine. He must be right because he's got a lot more money than I do. But I firmly believe that he's driving the company, the products, and the technology in the right direction. It's a very diverse set of technologies he's trying to embrace, and so that's a very huge undertaking. I myself would be afraid of it, but it's the right decision. If he just has enough resources and everything fires properly, it's going to be a home run. You know, but we'll have to see. Hopefully we won't have an Oracle version of Windows Vista.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be... I actually was kind of thinking, especially when I looked at the keynote lineup, that HP was there and said they were going to be talking about some sort of Oracle appliance. So it didn't surprise me too much. But that shouldn't impact you guys tremendously, I would think, because still at the core of it, you've got this database that you're working with, and the Quest tools help you operate that.
But there's some trends that he's setting that will affect us. And I'll give you a perfect example. Like most software companies, we have an installer program. And I'm the first one to admit, I hate installer programs. And now that virtualization and appliances are so standard, I actually prefer to get my software from my vendors as an appliance. It's much easier. And actually, if I go and I look at our tech support calls, half of them are people who are just trying to get the products up and running.
Yeah.
And that's not because the products are difficult. It's just that it's new to them, or maybe they've been given a week to do a process that should have taken a month. Or it falls into areas that they have to be responsible for that are a little bit outside of their main comfort zone.
Yeah.
I think we should follow suit. I think the way to deliver software, there are people who want to deliver software as service, and that's a different solution. I think for those of us who are still delivering software not as a service, that we should deliver it as appliances. It will make our users instantly more productive and instantly much happier.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I think you're going to see that bifurcation in the market, that there's a certain range of customers that are going to immediately hop on the Amazon, AWS, cloud computing bandwagon. But there's going to be a large core of people that just aren't ready to do that, aren't willing to take that step and leap into the cloud.
And even the people who do take the step in the direction of the cloud, because I don't want to say the cloud is nebulous, but because the cloud is still evolving, I have a fear personally that it's going to be more like hosting than like traditional IT. So let's say that someone wants to buy a piece of software off of Quest. Their deployment might be they have to put a virtual appliance up in that cloud environment that they don't control. So, again, I think the future is appliances, even in that cloud setting, because if I want to sell something, it may have to plug into a cloud.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, we talked a lot about Toad, but what other products are there that you've been involved with or that you're excited about? Or
we have a tool called Spotlight for Oracle, and also Spotlight for RAC. And the best way to describe that is it's a graphical dashboard that basically exposes the internal architecture and the performance metrics of the database in simple red, yellow, green, streetlight kind of notation, with complete drill downs and advice and alerts. And typically, anyone who's a database professional can take Spotlight. The install is very trivial. And within 5 minutes, you can almost diagnose problems that have been plaguing you for months sometimes. And that's a real bang-up product, and it works both for the single Oracle instance environment and for the RAC or real application cluster. And the reason that's important is because in the real application cluster, your database, the concept of a database, might actually be 20 nodes of servers. That's a lot of moving parts. And to be able to see that visually, and then to see the database architecture as it's distributed across those, and then to see it color-coded as a dashboard, makes it so painfully obvious that it really simplifies. And because of that, one of my strategic partners is Dell in Texas, and I do a lot of work with them because I'm from Texas. And all the customers that come into the Dell labs, whether it's proof of concept or whatever, they're all using Spotlight. Because in a very short amount of time, they can concentrate on getting their proof of concept done rather than spending hours and hours and hours, you know, diagnosing and tuning and optimizing a database.
So Spotlight will help with performance tuning and all that. Does it do any look at security or anything else within the incident?
Not currently, but there are some things on the horizon. Now, we do have some very basic security stuff in Toad, but it's very basic. I went through and looked at, we have something called the database health check. And it looks at things like, do you have 20 indexes on the table, or, you know, are you missing foreign keys? And I realized that there were a bunch of things we could test. For example, you mentioned the e-business suite. There's probably somewhere between 100 and 300 schemas that get created by that, all with default passwords. And so I've taken something as simple as checking all your databases to make sure you're not using the default schemas, the default passwords, and test of that nature. Not granting privileges like database administrator directly to people. It should probably be done through a role or something. And trying to make Toad give you at least a first step in that right direction. However, we do sell a product for security called Intrust. Now, what Intrust is meant to help you with is all of your HIPAA and all of your other compliance regulatory needs. And what I mean is, the compliance officers, the accountants, the, you know, the managers of the companies are coming to the IT professionals and saying, I have to be able to know that you know who's in the database doing what, and you need to be able to show me a report that proves that you know that.
Yeah.
And so we have this tool called Intrust, and basically it sits on a server, and it monitors all your database servers with very minimal, almost negligible impact in terms of performance, and collects exactly the information that the database administrator needs in order to produce the reports to satisfy the compliance officers. And that's been a real success for us because all of our database administrators are under that, you know, that thumb screw of producing some kind of compliance information or data.
Now you said Spotlight also offers advice when it runs into issues like this. How does it offer advice? What is it?
It's really fantastic. Early on when we first did the product, we went out and got some of the world's best Oracle authors out there, a lot of whom moved on to write for Oracle Press with quite a few books. And we told them, there's this dashboard we're writing, and it's going to identify scenarios or use cases. In other words, something has happened, and we can identify what has happened as far as a trend or several metrics that kind of go together to indicate a scenario. Those authors and those experts then provided us a very context-sensitive, I don't want to call it a help system because it's not. It comes up and it says, aha, I see you're waiting on this particular I/O type of wait. This is usually most likely what the cause is. And here are the three or four things that are the easiest to probably fix that problem. And that is worth its weight in gold. In fact, some people only go into that screen in Spotlight. They'll say, I really don't care about the pretty, you know, the Christmas tree.
Yeah,
just show me what I need to change.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. What's the next big thing that's happening with these? It sounds like there's a lot of areas where, especially with something like that, where you can really integrate it online. You've already got an active user community. You've got stuff happening. Are you going to bring this all together and put it into a component piece?
We are, and long-term, we have a product called Foglight. And Foglight is what I would consider the infrastructure of our future, which is, it's the environment where I can meet all of my customers' needs. Now, what I mean by that is, rather than building a bunch of applications or tools that are for a specific purpose, and therefore that tool has to know how to talk over a network, and that tool has to know how to talk to servers and databases, build that infrastructure in one place with a common set of appliances for our developers, and then add to that the specific pieces. We have a Foglight for VMware. We have a Foglight for database performance analysis. And so this is going to enable us to provide solutions quickly, consistently, and to provide a family of products rather than a bunch of disjoint products, which will also allow for people to grow their relationship with us. They could buy Foglight and maybe just the VMware piece, and then later as they do databases, increase their licensing, and they're not really buying a whole product. Now they're adding a module onto their existing option. This is going to make it easier for them to manage their relationship and their accounting with us for what they need. And it's going to make it easier for us as well because now my developers have a common framework to develop off of to build all our products.
That makes sense.
And frankly, with the way the trend is in the industry, virtualization, all of the resources that in the past our tools could assume, it's a static IP address, it's a static node. Now, computers computing resources, even before the cloud, even just with virtualization, are totally just abstracted. You have CPUs and memory at the moment in time. And so we need a framework that can work under those guidelines. And that's what we've done with Hogway.
Is there anything I'm missing or I haven't heard of yet or something exciting that you haven't touched on yet? Like I said, I don't have a script or anything, so I'm just making sure that we hit everything that we can on this.
I would feel remiss if I didn't mention some interesting Oracle things that are in the pipeline, because this is an Oracle trade show conference, and we've built tools to make your experience with Oracle better.
Yeah.
And we kind of said at a high level, the things that Larry is doing are very exciting. And there are many fronts to that. The SOA stuff, the Oracle Fusion, but just looking at the database run, which a lot of people would say, oh, databases are commoditized, they're boring, they're no longer interesting. Some of the things that are coming in the current versions of Oracle, the versions that will be coming out next year, I really can't talk much more about than they are coming next year. They're amazing, and they are not evolutionary, they're revolutionary. I mean, they are going to be things that are going to radically change the way people can manage applications that sit on top of databases. And that is going to be exciting. The database space is not dead. It has grown as these companies have acquired all these other interests. But the database space is just as interesting as it was 10, 15 years ago, which is solving bigger and bigger and bigger problems.
Certainly, the continual growth of things is going to mean that these databases that are like MySQL and so on, they're not really enterprise level scalable databases like Oracle's.
Exactly.
And we're starting to run into that ceiling with us a lot, I think.
And it's good news for us because with Oracle continuing to make the database space interesting.
Next.
Bert Scalzo for Quest Software.
How do you spell your last name?
S is in Sam, C is in Charlie, A L, Z is in Zebra. A show like this is very important because not only are we looking to what Oracle does as a trend, but all the 45,000 people who are here are coming to our booth and telling us what they're doing, and we're putting that into our strategic planning. So not just the planning for what we're going to do next year or the year after that, but the things that we need to start now that are going to take 3 to 5 years. A good example would have been Foglight. About 3 years ago, we saw the direction. We had to make a major investment to get that platform, but now that we have it, now we can build all the modules and onto it. And so we're getting those kind of feedback here to show Mac OS, Linux, and basically Unix, because that's what Mac OS is now. They want it, and they want it bad.
Do you think we'll see a Quest appliance, something that will just plug and play into the network?
Oh, I guarantee it. You can take that to the bank. If I have to make the product myself.
I think it's coming. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
What's interesting is, if a company like Quest wouldn't do it, I see an opportunity for someone to go out there and take our products, make the appliances, and then sell the appliances and give us money and keep a little bit of the money.
Yeah.
I mean, because the experience of getting software set up and working and optimized and tuned for whatever the environment is, it's just not worth spending your time on.
Yeah, I think we're seeing that across the board. You know, it's the lessons that were learned with the console games. You know, all of a sudden it's like, hey, you know, we can create a GPU and it's going to blow the graphics away from a PC because you just can't put the processing power into it.
Exactly. But no, I've already started with our management pitching product. I've pitched 7 new product ideas in the last year. Unfortunately, I haven't gotten any of them off the ground yet, but 6 of the 7 would have been delivered as virtual appliances.
Okay.
With 0 installers, none whatsoever.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I hope that goes someplace, because I think that would be a great solution.
Well, you know, it's like a baseball game. You got to keep swinging and not be afraid to strike out in order to get that home run.
Yep. Anything else? Or, you know, one thing I know I should ask you is, of course, give us Quest's web address and where people can go for more information. Who should they talk to, or where should they go?
www.quest.com. And that's Quest. And we're not the communication company in Denver. That's what everyone always thinks. We're the little software company in Orange County, California. I don't know our 800 number.
I don't have that either. that would be the... I know, I should have it.
Well, you know what, I can look it up, but okay. I'll share it. I'll share
yeah.
it.
And then we also, if you're a Toad customer, because we do have a lot of people who use Toad, several million people, we have a website called Toad World. And why Toad World is important is it's totally free to you, our customers, and it's our one place to get all content Toad. I put blogs up there. I put white papers. We do coffee bites, webcasts. We have a wiki site attached to that with an FAQ. We have a discussion bulletin even on that or board on there. So it's the one place you can go if you're a Toad customer and you know everything about that product. And like I said, with like almost 2 million people using the product,
you get a lot of resources.
Yeah. And this is the best place for them to go for that. But otherwise, Quest.com. And there's actually a lot of good, if you go out there and you just do a Google search on some of the Quest products, there's a lot of good press and reviews on us. I mean, we're like any software company. We've had our home runs and our, not home runs, but on the average, we've done much better than most of our competition. And that's why we were able to come through this tech bubble bust better than most companies.
How many years have you guys been around for?
About 15, I believe it is.
Yeah, even a little bit more than that, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know,
with
the database
space 15. Yeah, okay. So it's long enough. Yeah. Long enough to make a lot of changes.
It's interesting, and the changes that's been the most fun. You know, most people look at the downturn the last 5 years in the technology. It's been a boom for us. It eliminated 80% of our competition. And it also made the ones that we thought were worth having acquirable. You know,
that's
so
true.
It's worked out
that's
in our
true.
Favor.
So, yeah, there's always a silver lining, at least for one guy.
Well, and plus, our customers are being asked to do more with less.
Yes.
And since our tools are about productivity, they're just naturally coming to us saying, you're the guys who make the tools that help us do more with less. Help us.
Yep. No, it's true. I don't talk to anybody who is telling me they've got too many people on staff, you know, and that they've got too much money in their budget. They don't know how to spend it this year. You know, it's quite the opposite. And we're running the same thing in our offices, too. You know, we need tools to help us make up for the fact that there isn't a staffing back.
And even the outsourcing aspect that's occurred in the last 5 or so years, that's actually opened up opportunities for us, too, because if you look at Quest's international sales, they've been increasing, I won't say quarterly, but if you look at it on an annual basis, it's a very clear upward direction. And that's also because of the, you know, as people outsource work, they want the people working for them using the tools they know,
yes.
And that they know make them productive, therefore it will make their outsourcing people productive. So we're seeing our sales in China and India and Russia and Europe even going much better.
Well, and the consulting firms, too, I'm sure.
Exactly.
As they come into an organization, they know they're going to be walking out the door and they don't want to have to take those midnight calls, so they can put some of those tools in the customer's hands.
So one of the most rewarding things for me personally is our customers, especially our Toad customers, they're rabid. I mean, they love our product. I mean, some of them will quit a job if you say you're going to take away their Toad. And that's a lot of fun because it's a contagious enthusiasm. I mean, if they're that excited, I have to be that excited. And it feeds both ways. And you can go to a job site like monster.com, and you can do a search and say, I want someone who knows Toad and Oracle. And you'll get thousands, tens of thousands of hits. We've actually reached a point with one of our products that we're like right up there with a Microsoft Office or a Windows. I mean, it's a key core skill set for Oracle professionals. And I never in my life thought I would be a part of something that big and that fun.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Well, that's a great thing to say about anyone.
And that was Bert Scalzo with Toad from that was recorded actually on the floor of Oracle Open World out in San Francisco when I was there a few weeks ago. And you know, really just a great group of people out there. Toad in particular was a lot of fun to hang out with. They had an amazing display set up on their floor. You could take a look and see what they were doing. It was all good stuff. All good stuff. And really nice to hear from them. And if you're doing anything with databases, Oracle in particular, you'll surely have heard of Toad, and hopefully you'll want to check them out after hearing that.
Sounds like a great program.
It really, there's not even just one program. It's a whole suite of software and applications and things that they have. And I thought it was a really cool story that the guy who started it all was literally in a shack somewhere programming this to make his own life
was
better, basically.
Shack?
It was Jeff Davis from All the Hits chimes in and asked if it was a love shack.
1990s
B-52 love
right.
shack.
Hey,
and,
Mike's got it. Yeah, Mike knows some music. Wow.
Believe it or not, you know, geeks don't have much else to do but sit in their rooms and listen to music. So I know a few things. But as a matter of fact, it is an Oracle Love Shack. I'm not going to leave you with Love Shack, though. I'm going to leave you with a little Rip Groove by Double 99. And we will be back, which may not be what you'll hear on the podcast-only song of the week. And we'll be back at you Jeff Davis and Zane. What's your last name, Zane?
Adams.
Zane Adams.
How long has he been here?
You know, everybody's got two names. We've got Adam and Jeff and, you know, Dave. And
there's only one name for the radio station, and that's WRLR.
WRLR.
LP Round Lake Heights.
Thank you for listening to.
I'm here.
Yeah, you may hear some different in front of the. Anyways, thank you for listening to Tech Talk. Check us out next week. Have a great week.